Okay. Good morning, everybody. This is the title of my talk. The future is a bit ambitious. Nobody knows what will happen. Yeah. But anyway, we can imagine. We may think. This is the outline of my talk. After introduction, I would like to say something about the many faces, many forms of similarity, because similarity is one word, but what it means, you know, it's really a bit big. Real life and digital similarity, again, another interesting issue, I believe. Then on the importance of searching and the current technology and its limitations, the future, which I believe is something in the similarity search computing services. And finally, I would like to say some comments on the 5 years of CSAP, maybe some questions, suggestions, proposals for how to go to maybe provoke some discussion which might result in something. Anyway. Introduction. To be asked for a keynote talk, it's a sort of big honor, but also a big responsibility. After 5 minutes, you realize, yeah, but what I will say, you know, it's usually it's up to you to propose. So then it's a question what to say. Should it be a technical talk or something different, conceptual one? Because CSAP, it's, as you can see, a relatively narrow community, small community. We know each other. We know each other's work. We know the technical things. So then I thought, well, this is very difficult. What should I repeat again, again, again? You know, everybody knows that would be very boring. So though all my life I was always giving some technical talks, this time I have decided to say something a bit more, I don't know, say conceptual, more abstract, more vague, more boring. I don't know, you will see, you will judge. Because most of the technical, my knowledge, it's summarized in the book. There are other books, other surveys, you know. So my objective was to say something about my practically 20 years experience working with the similarity searching, what I may think where to go and how to proceed. And finally, I would like to say that the opinions I will now present are my personal experience. So I am not saying that this is a generic truth or something like this. This is my experience, my opinion. And since the conference is similarity search and applications, there are three keywords. So I would like to, let's say, more or less comment on those three keywords, you know, similarity, search in general, applications, again, in general. So CSAP is composed of those three keywords. So I would like to express something on this. The technical stuff, it's in the, for example, in those two books, as everybody knows, and so on. Maybe just for your information, this on the web page of our book, we have also some tutorials, 1 hour, 3 hour tutorial, and then there are more than 700 slides for a full course of 20 hours, so more or less you can give. So there is a lot of stuff, a lot of material, a lot of, maybe it's not 100% up to date because it comes from 2006, but, you know, the basic things are there. What similarity, you know? Similarity in the real life, it's, you know, look at the picture. Are they similar or are they different? Yeah, they are different, but if I say, are they similar? Not, you know, it's difficult to say they are not, you know, there is something. We have other examples, you know, they are similar. Are they similar? Funny, you know, this I love most. Nice, okay, So similarity is a tricky thing, you know. We can argue, I like it, I say yes, they are so similar, but it's a dog and girl, you know, you are stupid, you know, it can be similar, you know, but they are similar, you know. Anyway, so real life motivation. What the social psychologists say is that any event in the history of organism is in a sense unique. So that's why recognition, learning, judgments presuppose an ability to categorize stimuli and classify situations by similarity. Because they are unique, you know. The exact match, it's a bit difficult, you know. Similarity, and then there are many synonyms probably, like proximity, resemblance, communality, representativeness, psychological distance, and so on, is fundamental to many theories of perception, learning, judgment, and so on. So that's completely different field, which, you know, it's not our computer science, it's a so-called social psychology, that's what they say about similarity. But what to do with us, you know, we are computer scientists, but the reality is that in the contemporary network media nowadays, practically everything that we see, read, hear, write, measure, observe can be digital. They talk now about digital smell, you know, and everything is digital. Any form of fact which we are dealing as human beings, most of them can be digital, okay? Users autonomously contribute to production of global media, and the growth is exponential. That means it's horrible. The amount of data we are collecting exists, it's growing. They say exponential, if it's not, I don't know exactly, you know. But anyway, it's growing in a horrible way. Especially due to the sites like Flickr, YouTube, Facebook, and so on, that people contribute and put their content just for information. Facebook, probably you know, but for me it was shocking. They estimate that just on the Facebook every day, from 1 to 200 million pictures it's uploaded, you know. 1 to 200 million every day on the Facebook. Nobody knows what to do with this, you know. It's such a huge amount of data. And then if we say that the facts are now, digital facts are very close to the real facts we are dealing with, so they are in effect unique, they must be linked, connected, in a form of similarity. So what's the challenge? Network media is getting close to the human fact basis. So the gap between the physical world and the digital has blurred. Similarity data management, it's needed, you know, for many purposes. To connect, search, filter, merge, relay, rank, cluster, classify, identify, categorize. Maybe we can invent many other words for many purposes. Objects across various collections. Why? Because what the social psychologists say, it is the similarity which is in the world revealing. So we need a similarity management. We are similarity search. Similarity search is the core, but anyway, in general, probably, we need a kind of similarity management of similarity, because it's different, you know. It's different. I am probably the oldest guy here, but as I remember 20, 30 years ago, we were dealing with digital data. Digital data was what? It was a number or a string. Nobody thought about an alternative, you know, there's a number of, so it was possible to sort them. I could sort the strings, I could sort the numbers. All the classical technology is developed on the assumption of the order. There is an order. In the new data, this is different. This is the problem. This is the core of the problem. The data is not sortable. But, okay, we have a big possibility we have a big challenge. We need the management of similarity. Similarity again, okay, just to relax a bit, many forms, you know. In geometry, it's funny. Figures that have the same shape but not necessarily the same size are similar. That means any two line segments are similar, any two cycles are similar, any two squares are similar, any two equilateral triangles are similar. So if we have a definition, two polygons are similar to each other if their corresponding angles are equal and the length of their corresponding sides are proportional. Here is an example. Anyway, there is also interesting thing that if one polygon is similar to the second polygon is similar to the third polygon, the first polygon is also similar to the third polygon. But in any case, and this is interesting, in the geometry, two geometric figures are either similar or they are not similar at all. So it's binary. It's similarity, but it's binary. Usually similarity, we think about a different way. Here, in the geometry, it's binary. It's just a curiosity. But anyway, visual similarity. There is a standard, even MPEG-7, multimedia content descriptor standard, you know, and there are many features defined, like the color, shape, texture descriptors and so on. What's typical for these so-called global descriptors is that for one image, for example, you derive one descriptor, which is usually high dimensional vector. You can, of course, for one image derive several types of descriptors, and then you can combine them. Mm-hmm. So, for example, here on the, I have the sophisticated tools. Yeah, so shape, yeah. I can say, this is always the reference, the query, and the umbrella, but I say the color is important, so I can get a lot of other stuff, but all of them are sort of blue. But I can say, okay, I want to combine them, so then I get the result like this. So this just only to illustrate that there are many, many different forms. We can, besides the global descriptors, we can have also the local descriptors, you know, which work in a different way, that for one image, you find the points of interest, interesting points, and then by vectors, you describe the close vicinity of the vector, of the point, you know. You find the point, the point of interest, and then you describe by in a vector the vicinity of the close vicinity of the point. So you have that. The advantage is that you have a more detailed description of the image. Disadvantage is that you have much more data. The global descriptors, you have one descriptor for one image. Here you can have hundreds, thousands of descriptors for one image. So it's 2-3 orders of magnitude more of data, which is again a challenge. The advantage is that you can search mainly for sub-images. If you imagine the original image, and now here we have the query image, where we have the jaw only this, without even without the cup. But in this way, I can recognize it in the original image, which contains other things, the cup and the additional stuff and so on. So I can search for sub-images. So these are local descriptors. Then there is a huge area of biometric data, biometrics, methods of recognizing a person based on physiological and behavior characteristics. There are many examples, fingerprints, faces, and so on. Here are some of them, you know, like for the fingerprints, you try to detect the ridges, you know, the endings and branching of them, and you describe them by some points. you consider them as a sequence, and you can apply added distance to measure the closeness of this. Just an illustration, it's a metric measure. You can have also something similar for hands. Of course, you need a kind of normalization, which should be, you know, to achieve the rotation, translation, normalization, of course. But then a sort of Hausdorff distance is recommended to measure the similarity of them. You can have also biometrics, remote biometrics. So for the fingerprints, you need someone comes and puts the fingers there, you know, but I can try to recognize the people without even, you know, people being aware of being followed. So for this, you can try to recognize people according to the faces. There are appearance-based methods, model-based methods, gait recognition. It's the way how the person walks, you know. Surprisingly, you can, okay, not for 100%. It's not for the bank that I come to the bank, they know, okay, it's coming for the money, they give me the money. So it's not this, but it can give you some, with some confidence, information about who the person might be. Gait recognition. Faces, you know, this is, we will see some demo later on how it works. You have the image. On the image, first you recognize the faces here. This is the face detection. And then face recognition, you take one of the faces, they say, give me all the similar faces. And then, yeah, now you realize the guy is here, okay? You know, in the image. So. Also, there is a huge area of applications for one-dimensional signal. Vast amount of signals are produced by different machines in the hospitals, biometric data, personal identification, audio data, and so on, you know, time series in finance, and so on. So that is the big demand for this kind of data. So this is the digital similarity. So we have in the digital world a lot of, and I have not mentioned all of them, of course. Search. It's the another keyword of our conference. Search. Search. It's what's the goal? First, the goal. The goal is several of them. We search for results. We want to get a paper, a book, and so on. We ask to find answers, you know. When is my plane, you know, leaving, and so on. We use also filters so that the right stuff find us. That means filtering. Filtering is sometimes defined as the other side of the searching coin, you know. That means it's the inverse of searching. I define my profile, and when the data, its data stream, its flowing, its data, its filters, and goes to the profile. So filtering, it's another. We can say search goal. We can also browse. While wandering and wayfinding in a restricted area. This is very generic, but okay, I can retrieve something and then I get the results and I can be browsing through, seeing what's good for me, what is not good for me, and so on, many other ways. In reality, we move fluidly between modes of ask, browse, filter, and search. So we are changing the goals, adjusting the goals to the situation. Traditional, what's the traditional way? Traditional way defined by software, you know, by engine, then figure out what it is good for. Usually it's a big failure, you know. because it is not easy to use, or it is not able to handle the content, the data which we need, and so on and so on. So this is usually a wrong approach. Some quantitative facts. Search is very important, you know. 85% of all web traffic comes from search engines. It's horrible. More than 450 million searches per day are performed in North America alone, and 70% plus of the searches are done on Google sites. This is not so important, but in general, and this is the, and we should be aware of this, search is the most popular application. I don't want to say most important, most frequently used. Some people argue that it's second to the email. Okay, come on. But anyway, so search is so important application. So we should be proud to have the search in our title of the conference, because and this is generally agreed that search is the most used application at all. The best first as a keyword, you know. 60% of searchers never go past first page of the search results. They do the search, they get something on the first page, it's enough, they get I don't know how many thousands or millions of results, they never go to them. 60% just remain with the first page. The top three results draw 80% of the attention, first three results. So that's why this is important keyword, the best first. The best should be first, you know. Otherwise it will never be noticed, you know. Nobody will take it. The first few results inordinately influence the query reformulation. This is also important. I will talk about it later on a bit, but as an anticipation. Because search is more an interaction. When we search, our next actions are reactions to the stimuli of a previous search. I search, I get something, and this gives me a big influence on the next step. It's unpredictable because I don't know what will come. And again, the principle of best first. The best first will, you know, I look just on the first page. Most people just on the first, maximally three results. But our next actions, usually, and you know it from your experience, you never do search and it's all. It used to be in the Middle Ages, you know, of my Middle Ages, when was the classical databases, give me all the employees with the salary greater than blah, 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 blah. It was a question, it was a query, it was answered, and nobody was, you know, it was done, you know. Nowadays, when you search, you know it by yourself, it's not just one step. You search, you get something, you think, you search again. This is very important. Search is becoming an interaction. What we find is changing what we seek. It's a very good sentence. In any case, what's very important, search must be fast, simple, and relevant. Fast, it's on the first place. They want to be done fast. I will comment on this later on. So, precision is important. Recall is becoming less and less, less and less important. Because recall is too big. Nobody wants all results. They want the results, the good results. That's all. I say to my students, it's like everybody goes to buy the shoes. I want the good shoes, not the best shoes. you know, because nobody knows what are the best shoes, you know. For me, it's the first shop. For my wife, she goes into five, you know. But anyway, it's not a big difference, finally, you know. They might have better shoes here in Toronto, but she has never been here, so she's got a problem. You understand? The amount of data is so huge, and the definition of what's the best, it's becoming good. It's much more important. And fast. I want the results immediately. Simple and relevant, of course. So not anything, not random, you know, but so the basic components of searching are users with the goals, psychology, behavior, interface, engine, content, creators. I will be a bit, because we don't have much time, but okay. So these are typically the basic elements of the search. I use starting from the users, interface is important, engine, that's more or less we are concentrating on this, on the technology for the engines, but it's just a narrow part of this. Content indexing structure, and creators creating the data. It can be the people, it's a lot of machines. You have the surveillance cameras producing a huge amount of data, and so on and so on. Maybe just, I found this interesting. I know it's, maybe I feel sorry. We are in the Fields Institute, which is an institute of mathematicians, and so on. And my talk is much more different from the topic of mathematics. But anyway, I find these things interesting, you know. There were recent, it was this I read recently on the Time magazine, you know. Assuming information continually and continuously available on the web, we are increasingly handing off the job of remembering to search engines. You know, this is the first thing. Also, you know, if I am in a hotel, they say me I have the room number. I always remember the room number because this is very important when I am asking for the key. You know, if I don't know, okay, it would be able to find the way, but I would look stupid it would take a while and so on. So I remember this. But there is another fact which I know I have in the computer, you know, or I have my telephone number in the telephone. I never know my number, you know, that's the problem, you know, I have to look here because I know I have it there, you know, that's why I do not remember it, and it's a similar effect, you know. So we are increasingly handing off the job of remembering to the search engine. When we need answer, we do not think, we go immediately to the nearest web connection. There was some psychological investigations on these aspects of the searching on people. When we expect information to be easily found again, that is my telephone number, we do not remember it well. Our original memory of fact is changing to a memory of ways to find the facts. It's okay, it's funny, maybe it's interesting, but anyway, if we say we are working in the area of searching, we should be aware of this situations, we should be aware of these facts. Okay, maybe I will just skip this and comment on this very fast. You know, this is known from the theories of complex systems. When the system is becoming more and more complex, bigger, so the phenomena of determinism is becoming less important. The phenomena of scale is becoming more and more important. I tried to make an analogy for the searching, and I think it's quite okay. As the systems are becoming more complicated, you know, let's say starting with a kind of centralized, parallel, distributed, peer-to-peer architectures, maybe going towards the self-organization. The scale is becoming much and more important because of the data volume growing in exponential way, number of users, you know, growing as well, variety of data types, everything can be digital, as we said, multi-aspect queries, you know, you combine many. So scalability, the scale is becoming more and more important. On the other, determinism, it's not so important. That means the exact match, it exists, of course, and will forever. But more and more, we need the similarity management, precise changing to approximate. This is something I don't want to have all results, but just the good results, you know. So approximation is very important issue. Some answer, same answer, variable, that means context-aware queries, you know. I have the same query, but I can get different answer from different people, from different geographic positions, and so on. Fixed infrastructures to mapping to some computing infrastructures, and so on. So, in general, scalability is becoming the bigger and bigger issue. Determinism is less and less important. Now I will say few things about our experience with similarity searching and maybe show some example. As it was mentioned here, we are working around the kind of, it's not a system, it's a kind of framework, research framework, we call it MUFIN, multi-feature indexing network, which is for searching based on the metric space principle, in which way we achieve a kind of extensibility. With one system, we can solve many different applications. Scalability, using some specialized peer-to-peer structures. And we also have all the system built on a kind of mapping to infrastructure, so we can map the system on your laptop or into a network of computers. And let it run on the large scale big data. So if anybody would like to ask something later on, I can tell you much more details. Everything is supported by the metric similarity search implementation framework, MESIF, which allows you to combine and construct many different indexes for different metric structures, and then there is a storage subsystem. So with this, we can obtain centralized index structures, a communication network module. In this, we combine, you can obtain a distributed indexing structures. And on the top of this, there is a system which can provide you a lot of statistics about the behavior of the system, about possible bottlenecks, and many other statistics of this form. Okay, let's... in the first demo, I will show you this is a metric searching in 500 million global descriptors of images from Flickr, a bit more than 500 million. The objective of this is to show the scalability of the system. Well, there is the response time, typically below 0.5 seconds. You know, here it's 337 or something like this, milliseconds, you know. So it's a combination of 5 different global descriptors from MPEG-7, and the main objective is to show that the technology is able to run on the large scale. You know, it means this is 500 million descriptors. Okay. Here it's a real system. A company called PixMac, which is buying and selling images, it's using this system also for searching. The main advantage is that they combine the content-based retrieval with the text retrieval. You know, it improves the quality of searching a lot. It's just 10 million images. But the big advantage is that there is a combination of the text and content-based. So typically you can avoid some bad situations like, you know, in the first demo, if I put a kind of, a cat on the grass, I get the result. And then some people are laughing. I say, no, that this is not a cat, there is a dog. Yeah. Yeah, because of course the content-based retrieval is not able to recognize if this is a dog or cat, because if it's black, okay, it's a kind of black spot on the grass, that's all. Hmm? If you combine with the text descriptors, and here in this system, the descriptors are of relatively good quality because it's the photographers who are putting the descriptors there, and they want to sell. You know, they are motivated to put their good descriptors. If you go to Flickr, there are also descriptors in theory, but it's all rubbish, you know. It's usually people put there nothing, or holiday Europe 2010, 1,000 photographs, you know. That's the descriptors, you know. That's difficult to use for searching. So, but anyway, here it's a bit different. So if I can search by that. Autumn tree, I get some. This is just a text. This is just a text search. Then I can get the similar ones. I can browse, of course. I can go to another mode where I have the original image. Here I have the similar according to the content. And here I have the related, that means images having similar keywords. And these are the keywords which are in the, which describe this image. Hmm? So, what I wanted to illustrate is that if you combine more aspects, you significantly improve the quality of the searching. So the combination of content-based and text retrieval brings really satisfactory results. It's a real system, it runs on 10 billion images, and with a reasonable load, something like two queries per second, 24 hours a day. It's running on the Amazon. Two machines hired from Amazon, it's running on the Amazon. Several years without any problems. There is a completely different data set where I would like to very fast. This is random. So, okay. I search, I get the glasses. I have a lot of glasses. And this is the glasses according to the shape and color descriptors. But I can say shape is much more important for me than the color, you know? So I get also some glasses with a different color. Or I can say the color is much more important for me than the shape. We will see what happens. Oh, okay, they are all glasses, you know? That it would be possible to take randomly some other data set, maybe the shoes. Okay. If I say the shape, it's I will get, you know, here also different colors because I am preferring only the shape. If I say the color is much more important, I get this. So anyway. just only to illustrate, it's quite convenient to combine the descriptors. Sometimes you prefer ones than the others. But just only to shade the extensibility, that means I can process completely different data sets, like the fingerprints, you know. Okay, we have very little time. I mentioned the time series, you know, so I can say, look, for example, here is a kind of extreme, so it's a subsequence matching. It takes a bit more because it's running on a very poor hardware. You know, I have first image, here is also the extreme, here is also the extreme, and so on. You know, so, but still the same engine, metric, principle, extensibility. Faces, usually people like, let's try to be fast. I take an external image, this is an external image, you will see it, soon. I say detect face on the image. It takes a while. You know it. Some Czech people know the guy. And I put here a cursor on the face. I say give me similar people. Okay. I get the image. This is the original image. And I get another image. I say on this image, with whom he is on the image. And now you can see it. Oh, no, it was a mistake. Okay, like this. That's fine, okay? This is the guy, and he is with the original one. And in a similar way, the others, you know? So all of them, I have them, all of them on the figure with whom it's on the image. Plugins. You can you take this to be fast. Okay, I can find similar planes. This is external image, any image. I put the cursor on this by image, but I can also say what's on the image and let's say aircraft. Air, jet, forced, airplane, flying, airplane, and so on, and so on. So it gives you a kind of annotation of the image. It tells you what's on the image. Okay. Anyway. We can talk about these examples later on when we have more time. Yeah, I switch off this. And I can continue in. Anyway, so we already have we have some technology. We have been working long, all the community in this direction. So I believe the technology is already, let's say, I don't want to say mature, but should be able to produce something, though we still have a lot of other things to do. We have limitations in several dimensions. I'm supposed to finish 10:30. True. Yeah. So anyway, there are limitations considering the data types, models of similarity, because we are using always the metric space approach, which is good, but there are many other forms of similarity and that would be necessary to extend. Queries, most of the queries are sort of nearest neighbor queries, range queries, but would be good to extend in for some other queries, maybe, but I don't know how. Potentially it would be nice to see something like similarity algebra, you know, like was a relational algebra for, so a kind of similarity algebra, maybe, sometimes in the future. Limitations also in implementation strategies, and so on. That's what you will have the slides, you can read it more if you want later on. What I considered important was a sort of my observation, experience. I don't know if I am right, but experience. What's the core of the problems which we have with the current applications? You know, search is so important. Similarity is so important. And we are still not selling the technology, I mean, in a real way. Okay, all the Google and so on, it's also similarity, you know, with the text similarity. It's a narrow slice of the similarity on the text, mostly, 99%, and the only one producing the money. The rest, I'm saying all the time how similarity is important, psychologists saying it's important, everything is important, but it's not selling, you know. Okay, there might be many other reasons, but one of the reasons is that current applications are implemented as complex software projects. It is costly, needs highly qualified specialists. This is one of the problems. It's really not easy. You know, so many people come, they want to have an application, but either they don't have enough money, or they are not patient enough, and so on. To build an application takes a lot of time, and you need qualified people for this. Second, they fitfully, and this is important, need massive infrastructure to build and run multiple indices. You need, especially, to extract just a primitive thing to extract the features. You need huge infrastructure for this, you know. We were talking with the biggest European image provider, PixSearch from Stockholm in Sweden. They have something nowadays probably 5 billion images. They were very much interested in this, several times visited us. The final failure was that when we made the estimations what they would need, the infrastructure to extract the features for these 5 billion images, they said, we are sorry, we are not so rich. So, you know, looks to be very stupid, very simple thing, but finally can be very important. And you need it just to extract. In half a year, you have it. What to do with the machines later on? It's becoming much more easier nowadays with the cloud computing and hiring the services and so on. But at that time, it was the bottleneck. Okay. So, similarity data management or similarity search computing on the conceptual level has two extremes: the problem of effectiveness and problem of efficiency. Effectiveness is the quality of searching, efficiency is the speed, performance, this kind of stuff. On the implementation level axis, you have two extremes. You need the data, stimuli, descriptors, extracted features, and so on. On the other hand, you need the operators. And then there is something in the between, you know. To get the extracted data, you have to respect the problems of efficiency. You have to do it fast, otherwise it fails, like with the PixSearch. But you need also some functions to match the stimuli to get the effects of effectiveness. That means to get the quality of searching. Effectiveness and operators, you need evaluation procedures. And to execute them on the proper hardware, you have to study the processes of execution. So, if you consider the top of these, that means the transition from effectiveness to efficiency through matching, stimuli, and extraction, you have the problem of findability. Findability is becoming more and more important, you know. Findability, what's findability? If you have, just for simplicity, an image, you put it into the computer, the image is completely lost, unless you know exactly the some unique identifier. You can store it, you can retrieve it, but otherwise, from the content point of view, the object is completely lost. It's not findable. It's not possible to find it. So the matching, stimuli, and extraction, it's the problem of findability. If you consider the bottom of the figure, is the problem of retrieval. This is much more studied in the previous time. This is more or less what we have been always considering in our studies. But for all of this, we need a new model of execution. We need to make all the technology as a cloud service to achieve the applications areas for the web, enterprise, mobile, and social environments. So in general, we can say that retrieval, which means the effectiveness evaluation, operations execution, and efficiency of searching, it's a process we have been studying a lot, and we have a technology which is more or less capable of reasonable applications. What's important is the process of findability, you know, to have many more descriptors for digital objects, because it's not just these global descriptors, local descriptors. There are many other forms of descriptors. We have descriptors for recognizing people on the images, people are what the people are doing. They are walking, they are sitting, they are dancing, maybe, and so on and so on. So the world of the descriptors is also extending at a very, very, very high speed. And the cloud way of computing to achieve the general scalability, elasticity, availability, and privacy. Privacy is very important, because once the people put the data into the clouds, not all the data is of the form like Flickr images from holidays, you know, where people put it on the web and they don't care, okay, somebody is looking at this, you know. There is a lot of data which is confidential, which must be protected. Nobody can look at this, and so on. This is one of the big challenges also for us, for the research community, to build the indexing structures, the search mechanisms, which can guarantee the privacy and the security of the data. So I have 5 minutes, so I will have a few words about the 5 years of CSAP conferences. Please don't take it like a sort of offensive, or I don't know how to say. I was trying to say the strong points, which certainly there are many of them, but also the weak points, because if we don't express the weak points, we can never improve, you know. So okay, maybe we will not agree on all of them, depends. So it should be a kind of attempt to try to provoke a kind of discussion about how we might improve the next generation of the CSAP conferences. So the strong points I consider: the fact that we organize it every year, for 5 years, every year we've been able to organize the conference. There is a CSAP homepage. A workshop has turned into an international conference. So from a kind of reputation point of view, it's considered to be higher. We are certainly leaders in metric search theory and technology. This is probably, I consider, as the strongest point of this for this community, but it's the technology. I was trying to show that search means much, much more than the technology. Prestigious conference proceedings published by Lecture Notes in Computer Science. After the conference, we have the general publications of selected papers, which is also good for the reputation of the conference. But still, I'm sorry, I see some weak points. Too few submissions. And it seems to me, I'm not sure, I haven't done the statistics, it seems to me that it's even going a bit down. Narrow and closed community. Somebody told me, okay, it's a half of Czech Republic is here. You know? Not half, okay, it was a joke. But anyway, you know, I'm very happy for this because I'm Czech. But on the other hand, from the conference point of view, it should be, you know, it's we are narrow community. This is what worries me most, and maybe even close. Few application papers. If I try to think about this, as I said, we are the leaders in the technology and the theory. We have few application papers. If they are, they are usually not no contacts to related scientific events, tutorials. Probably we should try to sell more our knowledge to some other environments, you know. I was really disappointed when we were, I was not at CSAP last time, but 2 years ago in Istanbul, it was at the same time, this was VLDB, and at the VLDB there was at least two, maybe even three tutorials on similarity search. Come on, and we have a specialized brochure. Hanan was giving a talk in exactly the same time on the VLDB conference, and was another one. Two or three, you can go back and look at the proceedings, you know. There are some other, on the last EDBT, there was also a big tutorial, not from our community, on the similarity search. We should try to probably connect some other communities as we are a little interested in actual search systems. Maybe not a little, but not enough. No cooperation with industry. It might be the bridge. I don't know. I know it's very difficult, but anyway. Similarity search, it's certainly not a pure mathematics, you know. Similarity search, it's really a kind of industrial issue. We should respect this, and probably industry might help to do it. So it was the past 5 years of CSAP conferences, next years of CSAP conferences, maybe questions to be discussed. Do we need a change? Are we happy with the situation? If the answer is yes, it's over. Good. Do we want a change? What is to be changed and how? Then it's the problem. You know, we can complain. But if we don't know what to change and how to change, it's difficult. Again, it's over. Another problem, are we able to do it? We might know what to change and how to change, but we are not able to do it. So, okay, it's again a problem. And, of course, who is willing to do the work? So these are the questions which has occurred to me when I was thinking about how maybe to proceed in the next, not five, but maybe 50 years of CSAP conferences. But anyway, okay, this is just take it like my personal experience, and I think it's sharp, 5:30. It's finished. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you.
Yeah. I didn't have much time to give a look at the papers, but anyway, so I hope. I know roughly I was browsing abstracts.